Hello, everybody. My name is Elliot.
And my name's Erin.
And this is our episode of the Human Connections Literary Podcast Series. And today we will be covering a human experience, particularly that of anxious thoughts. And our medium will be music.
Yes, and we've chosen two different songs that we're going to both analyze on our own. Both of these songs are really a testament to our own experiences with our identity and anxiety. And towards the end, we're going to compare them and talk about each other's songs a little bit.
So we'll start off with mine. And for my portion of the podcast, I struggle with selecting a song to analyze. I listen to a lot of music, a lot of it with deeper meanings. But finding a song that spoke to the human condition was a bit more difficult, especially since I wanted it to be a message that can be universal. So naturally, I turned to music I was familiar with. I canvassed my Spotify to find that few of my most listened to songs had any hidden messages, much less ones about the human experience. That was until I turned to one Miss Taylor Swift. Now, it's no secret Taylor's music holds a lot of meaning, especially her latest album, Midnights. The song I've chosen is also one that many people have debated the meaning of. In fact, this particular song is one of the pillars of the album, resulting in TikTok trends, poetic fads, and the literary community, everything you can think of when the album was released. It's a song that speaks to the human experience of stomping on the broken eggshells of one's own mistakes, the universal sensation of feeling as if you have more screw-ups than you're worth, a musical explanation of the feeling of learning by trial and mainly error how to be a human. That song is Antihero by Taylor Swift. And from the very opening lines, it's a very powerful message. We start off in the opening lines. I have this thing where I get older, but just never wiser. Midnights become my afternoons. When my depression works the graveyard shift, all the people I've ghosted stand there in the room. I should not be left to my own devices. They come with prices and vices. I end up in crisis, a tale as old as time. I wake up screaming from dreaming. One day I'll watch as you're leaving because you got tired of my scheming for the last time. Now, the opening lines are the most literal of the song. They show Taylor unable to learn from the mistakes piling around her, trying and failing to cope with the damage that she's done in her own life. The opening mantra, I should not be left to my own devices, is particularly potent in the relatability it holds to all people with anxious minds. It really feels like you shouldn't be allowed control of your life, and you're just waiting for your next opportunity to screw it up. And when your mind works that way, you're spending your days wondering when the next bad thing will happen, perpetually bracing for the next impact, and it's exhausting. This song speaks volumes to the truth that anyone, to some degree, can relate to. The lines, I wake up screaming from dreaming to for the last time, are repeated at the end of each verse, and the repetition only makes them stronger. For anxious people, it is a universal experience to wonder when the people in your life will leave. If you don't have a clear view of yourself, if you see yourself as a villain in the story of your life, then you spend it tiptoeing around the eggshells or giving people reasons to leave you, and this song puts that into words flawlessly. Now, the chorus of the song are where my favorite lines come in, and those lines are, I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. It must be exhausting, always rooting for the anti-hero. So, I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror is my personal favorite line in the entire song. I mean, come on, that is literary mastery. And I distinctly remember trying and failing not to absolutely bawl my eyes out when I first heard that line somewhere on the middle of Highway 84, and it has stuck with me ever since, mainly because every time I think of it, I interpret it differently. It sounds like someone who knows they're broken but can't face it, or someone who knows they hurt people but can't bring themselves to stop, or someone who genuinely doesn't know who they are at all. It sounds like someone who knows exactly who they are and cannot stand it, or someone who can't stand not knowing how to change, someone who can't stand changing. It's so many different people who make burning eye contact with the sun to avoid having to meet the gaze of their own reflection, and they all listen to this song. I may or may not be one of them. Not the point. So the second verse also has some really heavy hitters. Like, did you hear my covert narcissism? I disguise as altruism like some kind of congressman. And then the chorus repeats, tale as old as time. I wake up screaming from dreaming, et cetera, et cetera. But can we just, did you hear my covert narcissism? I disguise as altruism like some kind of congressman. It's just, ugh, it's such a good line. And it really does say so much about an anxious mindset, because it's a particularly unique kind of anxiety that not a lot of people may have experience in, or at least I hope they don't. But thinking that you are a more narcissistic person than you actually are, and villainizing yourself for things that, while may be viewed as narcissistic traits, are not actual acts of narcissism, is such a terrifying thought process to be trapped in. And it's this whirlpool that just goes further and further down, and you find a way to villainize more and more of your actions and demonize yourself for doing more and more things that just make you human. And this song is exactly what that feels like. The metaphor of this verse, being a literal monster in other people's eyes, people seem to be so much better at being people than you do. It's what this song is really about. It's about feeling monstrously bad at being a person and getting caught in the penalties of it. Particularly, I love the line in this verse, "Pierced through the heart but never killed." It's an easy second favorite line and a beautiful image. Anxious thoughts really do feel like they pierce your thoughts sometimes, but they never quite seem to kill you, and that's the cruelty of an anxious mind. You have to actually live with it. The most powerful lines are, of course, "Did you hear my covert narcissism, etc., etc." Now, ignoring the very clever and necessary jab at the U.S. government, we can see Taylor's true reasoning for writing this song. She sees herself as a villain, one trying desperately to masquerade as a hero. Did you hear it? Is it slipping through? Am I trying hard enough? Is it working? The questions that plague an anxious person's mind every day, summed up in two lines. It's masterful lyricism. And after a repetition of the chorus, we have one of the most beautiful images in the song. "I have this dream. My daughter-in-law kills me for the money. She thinks I left them in the will." The families gather around and read it, and then someone screams out, "She's laughing up at us from hell." It's beautiful representation of Taylor's life specifically. She's always sung about finding love, and in this scenario, she's found it, given that she has a daughter-in-law. She has her success, given that there's money enough to kill for, and of course, she has the downfall she's always dreaded, killed at the hands of someone meant to love her for what turns out to be ultimately pointless greed, all for her to be damned for it. I cannot think of a better representation for the average thought spiral. Like, anxious thoughts are always so unimaginably unreasonable. Like, that is genuinely just the average anxious thought scenario. Like, even if you are not even considering the idea of getting married, I guarantee you, if you're an anxious enough person, you've thought about your daughter-in-law killing you or your husband killing you. Like, an anxious thought is never a sensible one. And something like this is such good representation because it shows just how out of hand your own mind can get when you have no idea how to live with it. Which is another reason that I love this song. But from there, it's a repetition of the chorus until the music fades out. Taylor once again sings, "It's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me," and the song ends. And that's truly a summary of this anthem for the anxious. This song is so beautiful, and it's such a good representation of the damaging thought process of anxiety and self-villainizement, which is a problem that so many people struggle with but don't know how to vocalize, much less solve. So I would like this podcast to be a moment to remind you that no matter what you've done or who you are, you don't have to see yourself as a villain. You're a human, and that means you're allowed to make mistakes. So long as you learn from them and put in the effort to do better, you will become a better person. You will grow. Broken eggshells make fabulous fertilizer. And never forget that villains turn to anti-heroes who turn to heroes, and there is always hope for a better tomorrow.
Yes, very well said. Okay, so I heard you mention, you know, how anxiety makes us very afraid that people are gonna leave us. You know, that at any point, even the people we're really close to, our family, our best friends, our animals, our pets, are gonna leave us. And I feel like my song is almost a mirror of that. This is a song about someone who is facing all these same anxieties, but is rather leaving himself. He's deciding to leave the situation. The song I've picked out is No Name Number One by Elliot Smith. And I also struggled trying to find a song to pick because I knew I wanted to do something by Elliot Smith because he's my favorite musician, favorite lyricist, just favorite, you know, all across all boards, my favorite. And I knew I wanted to do something, one of his songs, because they're so rich, and I almost can't figure out what a lot of them are about because they're just so beyond, you know. I don't want to say above my head, but they're above everyone's head. I think they're above his own head. But I picked this one because, well, I'm a music journalist, so I love talking about the instrumentation in particular, and I feel like the instrumentation of the song really reflected the lyrics, which is not something you often see. Like, a lot of times you'll find a song that you really love the lyrics, and they're so great, but the instrumentation, the way the song plays out, the melodies, it's just awful, and it just doesn't fit. Or it could be vice versa. You have a song that sounds so good, and the lyrics are just god awful. You can't, they're just insufferable lyrics. This song really is the best of both worlds, and it's kind of formatted in the way of an internal monologue, So, kind of like yours. I would say that's a bit of an internal monologue. It's basically, it sets the scene in the first line. And the first line is, at a party he was waiting, looking kind of spooky and withdrawn. And the song's about Elliot. And he is at this party, and this party could really just be anything. It could be your home life, it could be school, it could be absolutely anything. But he's at this party, and immediately upon entering, he wants to leave. Not because of the people around him, or the music, or the alcohol, or the drugs, or anything like that, but because of him. He wants to leave because of himself. He wants to be alone, and he just doesn't know how to leave. He doesn't know how to leave at all. And upon the first listen, I guess people could assume that the song is like a representation of how depression works out, but it's really not. It's just a hanging sadness. It's not anything that it's not anything that could be diagnosed or anything like that. It's just this unwavering pool of sadness and anxiety that he's in. And towards the end of the first verse, he says, "I hate to walk behind other people's ambitions. I saw you waiting." And the chorus says, "Leave alone, you don't belong here." And it's almost like this anxiety is talking back to him. It's almost out of body. He's saying it to himself, but I don't know. I've always felt like it wasn't really himself saying it. You know, it's something that took over him. In the second verse, it starts off with, "Got nervous, started whistling, every thought a ricochet. Did you notice? Well, I wondered, what's the worst thing I could say? Froze up inside. You remind me of someone's daughter. I forgot her. I forgot her name. Ashamed." This is social anxiety at its peak right here. And I mean, I just see so much myself in this verse. It's like, it's crazy. He describes all of his thoughts as ricochets. He thinks about what's the worst possible thing he could say here. He's overthinking everything. And this is all backed up by his want to leave, but he's trying. He goes up to this girl and he says, "You remind me of someone's daughter." And he says, he forgets her name and he's ashamed. And it just reminds me of so many social interactions I've had, and that clammy, nervous feeling you get. And I don't know, I really love it. And then in the chorus we have, leave alone, because you know you don't belong. You don't belong here. When I go, don't you follow. Leave alone. Man, I really love those lyrics. Once again, it feels like it's not really him saying it. It's this force in him that's telling him all these things. And you can almost just say that this party is not really a party, but rather his life in general. And he just wants to leave it, you know? And the outro is a little bit different than the chorus, but not entirely. It says, "Slip out quiet, nobody's looking, leave alone, you don't belong here." What this makes me think about is judgment from others, you know? Often when we talk about our anxiety, we talk about our self-hatred, you know, it's embarrassing. It's really hard to talk to. Even if someone else understands, they almost just get this weird feeling. And they, you know, just like any conversation you have about mental health, they almost distance themselves away from you. So, whenever he decides to slip out quiet, you know, he says that nobody's looking. No one's gonna judge you for leaving. And he has to leave, you know? He has to. And he's worrying about judgment from others. I can't give it enough justice with the lyrics. You have to listen to the song because the guitar, it's beautiful. It's an acoustic guitar. And it feels like a deep sadness. But like I said, not like a depression sadness. It just feels like a weight. It's devastating, but not too devastating. And that's how I feel like, you know, my self-hatred and my self-image and my anxiety is. It's devastating, but not too devastating. So,
it's definitely very fitting, the songs that we've chosen to represent our anxious thoughts, because yours is very internally conversational. It's very back and forth, different voices in your own head, personification. And mine is very much a monologue. It's one voice saying the same thing, even doing voices to represent other people, but never giving the mic away. Mm-hmm. Because the only thing scarier than having the mic and being scared of what you're going to say is giving it to someone else and having to worry about what they're going to say about you.
Yeah.
And that's the really telling part about anxiety. The only thing worse than having nobody who understands it is having someone who does. Mm-hmm. Because that means that they know too much about you. Mm-hmm. That means that they're too far on the inside. They've gotten past the walls already. There's nothing you can do to stop them.
Yeah.
And it's where that feeling of, holy crap, I have to go, comes from. That's where you want to leave the party, when you realize people are looking at you, people are figuring things out about you, people are assuming, they're answering questions you haven't even had a chance to ask yet. Oh my gosh, what do they know? What do they think they know?
Exactly.
Are they right? Are they wrong? And it's this feeling of a sudden stark realization that you have no idea how to be a human being.
Yes, exactly.
And that's really just what anxiety feels like. It's realizing and obsessing over the fact that you don't know how to be a person in whatever way that may come. If it's general social anxiety about worrying about interactions, if it's identity issues about not knowing how to be a person, even if you're not physically out in the world being a person, it's not knowing how to feel like a person. It's anxiety ties so deeply into identity that a lot of people don't really understand that. You say to somebody that you have anxiety problems and they think you're worried about getting hit by a car just because you're walking on the sidewalk, or you're going to find a worm in your apple, which, like, yes, those are valid things, and that is anxiety that a lot of people have. But I feel like when most people talk about having anxiety, they're talking about identity issues, and nobody seems to grasp that. The language around the conversation is not at all where it needs to be to discuss the topic of anxiety and identity as they relate to each other. And I think that these songs both do a very good job, in very different ways, of having that conversation, of shedding a little bit of light about how anxiety around your own identity can look, about how it can manifest, and about how it can affect your life.
Yes, and I feel like, I was thinking about this, is going to sound so goofy, but if you got Taylor Swift and Elliott Smith at the same party, right, it's really a testament to how anxiety affects other people. I'm sure she would, you know, kind of huddle close to people, and she would be very terrified that they're all going to leave her. And they all think that, you know, we don't really like her as much. We're going to go hang out with other people that we like better. Meanwhile, Elliott would be trying to get out, trying to stay away from everybody. And that's both the same thing that they're facing, same thing they're struggling with. And it's just like they're walking juxtapositions, you know. This is one guy who really is so overwhelmed by anxiety that he wants to leave, and someone else is so overwhelmed by anxiety that she wants to just stay. You know, she wants to cling on to somebody and just get so much, what's the word?
Reassurance,
yes.
It's very fascinating, and I love what you said about walking juxtaposition, because that's really what anxiety feels like. And depending on which side of the juxtaposition you're on, which part of the contradiction you identify with more, is the difference in whether or not you're going to be an anti-hero or a no-name number one.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the building is coming down, you have two options. You can either try and stop it and save the building, like Taylor, or you can just try and get out and save yourself, like Elliott. And the thing about anxiety, neither one is going to work.
Yeah.
The building is going to come down, and there is no exit, because the building is you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the person trying to escape. You are the building.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing that is one of the most crucial steps in learning to live with your anxiety, because the thing is, you don't really get over anxiety.
Mm-mm.
You don't treat it, it doesn't get better, you learn to live with it, you learn to cope. It's very difficult to accept, but it's a long haul thing. It's your mind, you can't just fix it, you have to learn to live with it. And I feel like both of these songs do great jobs of showcasing an attempt, albeit a failed one, at that, at learning to live with your own mind and the way that it functions, even if it's not particularly kind to you. Which is what I really appreciate about both of these pieces, is about how they show that it's not always a happy ending. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to a topic like this, that's very important to see, because very few people have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really just mind-boggling to think how differently affects people. Because you have someone here who's trying to figure out the worst possible thing he could say so he could be left alone. And if Taylor did that, you know, it would be horrible. She would just, I don't mean to like, yeah, but
She would never forgive herself.
Yeah, she would freak out, you know?
It's fascinating to see the different responses that people have to the same things. And anxiety is something that manifests itself in so many ways that there's an endless possibility. So I personally would like to just take this moment and to remind everybody that no matter what way your anxiety manifests, no matter how you respond to it, no matter which one of those possibilities you find your way in, just because the building is coming down does not mean that it can be rebuilt. Just because there is no exit does not mean that you can't learn to make a home where you are. Your mind might not always be a kind place to be, but it is yours. So ultimately, you have the power to change it as much as you would like to. You just have to show yourself the kindness that it takes to make that change.
Yeah, of course. And music like this really helps with coping. Just music in general, really. I feel like most healing, people, they don't lie when they say music heals. Music really does heal. But whenever you hear a song that's, I don't know, it's so interwoven with your deepest organs, you know, and your deepest feelings, it's so relieving. So if you're struggling with these things, or if you're struggling with something else, we all have things we struggle with. Music. Music, music, music. And if you don't really like music, turn the music off and listen, like, read the lyrics. You know?
Find a song
that
speaks to your life, and it will change everything.
Absolutely.
Even if it doesn't have to be a how-to guide for how to fix your problem, just knowing that someone out there knew enough of what you were going through to write a song about it, to try and share it with the world. That feeling of camaraderie can be truly life-changing.
Yeah, and that someone out there was experiencing the same thing as you, and then they put the song out, and now all these other people are hearing about what you experience. And really just knowing is like, it's so relieving when people know, and when they're able to say, I know what you're going through, and I understand, and I know what's happening. You don't even have to have what I have, you know? But just you being aware of what I have to go through, it's very relieving. And I really hope that everybody who is listening is able to have a moment like that where they can just, or have a song like that, or have a piece of media that they can refer to and just feel comforted and at home and like they belong within it.
Very well said. So, in closing, whether it's anxiety or something completely across the earth, whatever you're dealing with, go out there, find a song, find a book, find a TV show, find something that proves to you that you're not the only person who has to deal with this. And remember, everybody is constantly having a human experience. Thank you for listening.